You will know the Lord is the Lord when he judges you. You will know it. There will be no doubt. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. The reality is, if you haven't repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus, the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations will be blessed, if you haven't done so, if you die, it's too late.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, in today's message, we see something that's rather shocking. And in fact, it's hard to imagine.
Yes, it is, Dave. And what we're talking about is God's judgment. You see, God is a God of love and mercy and grace and kindness, but yet he's also a holy God. And today we're going to see that he does not let sin go. Okay, well, what are we talking about? Let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 20, and we're beginning with verse 45.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
In the southernmost portion of Israel, which is Judah. And so he's saying south, south, south. And we know that in chapter 1, that Babylon's going to come from the north. Even though they're in the east, they need to come west and then south. So here, he's saying here, set your face towards Teman, that's south. Speak out. He's literally, it says, let your lips drip forth. Pour forth. That's what that, when he says speak out. Let the words pour out against the south. Prophesy against the forest land of the Negev, or the south. And say to the forest land, and what is he to pour out in his words? Remember, he's speaking God's word. Look at it here. And say to the forest land of the Negev, verse 47, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm about to kindle a fire in you, and it shall consume every green tree in you, as well as every dry tree. The blazing flame will not be quenched, and the whole surface of the south to north will be burned by it. All flesh will see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. It's talking about a blazing fire. And you know, we have these horrible fires right now in LA, and you can't deny that there's a fire. Everyone sees it. You know, and they see that it's bringing great destruction. Well, here, the Lord is saying he's going to do this here in this situation. He's going to bring, in a sense, a fire. It's really, we're going to see, it's the fire of his judgment. That's what he's talking about. And he's going to consume every tree, green ones and dry ones. And it will not be quenched, not going to be put out. The whole surface, middle of 47, from south to north, will be burned by it. Green trees, I believe, speak of possibly the righteous. Well, we'll see what he's talking about. He's talking about there in a moment. And dry trees, possibly the wicked. But he's saying everyone in the land here. Now, just a side note, we will get into this idea of the righteous here being judged, because we'll see that God does not judge the righteous. He judged his son on the cross, but he judges those who are outwardly righteous, but not truly righteous. Okay? There are those who are outwardly wicked, and those are those who are outwardly righteous. And then there are those who are truly righteous based on a faith in Jesus. So he says here in verse 48 that all flesh will see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. You're going to know that the Lord is doing it. There's going to be no doubt in everyone in Israel at this time, at this point, when the Lord brings his judgment, that he is doing it. I mean, no question. No question. He's speaking of the total destruction of the land brought about by the living God, where the people who remain will be exiled for 70 years. Now, for those of you who haven't been with us for our series in Ezekiel, God has made it clear over and over again that Jerusalem and the southern kingdom is worthy of his judgment and wrath because of their adulterous and sinful hearts and actions. God has pleaded with them to repent for hundreds of years, and he made it clear that the soul that sins will die. And we see in chapter 18 that he takes no pleasure. He takes no pleasure. As we look at this judgment, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live. Remember that. We need to see things rightly in its context, because we can have a wrong view of judgment. So here, after 700 years of warning the nation, the time is up. The time is up. And he's still beckoning them to repent, by the way, but the time is up. He's making it clear. turn back and you might remember what we saw back in chapter 7. Let me read part of this back in chapter 7. Now, all the judgment we're speaking of is the judgment that God would bring through Babylon upon the southern kingdom when they're exiled for the final time. That's what we're seeing here. But we're going to see also it foreshadows God's judgment of the future. Chapter 7, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, to the land of Israel, an end. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I shall send my anger against you, and I shall judge you according to your ways, and I shall bring all your abominations upon you. For my eye will have no pity on you, nor shall I spare you. But I shall bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, a disaster, unique disaster, behold, it's coming. An end is coming. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it has come. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come. The day is near. Tumult rather than joyful shouting on the mountains. Now I will shortly pour out my wrath on you. I will send my anger against you and judge you according to your ways and bring on you all your abominations. My eye will show no pity, nor will I spare, or I will repay you according to your ways. While your abominations are in your midst, then you will know that I, the Lord, do the smiting. Behold, the day. Behold, it is coming. Your doom has gone forth. The rod has budded. Arrogance has blossomed." You know, God was gracious, and he warned them over and over again, and now the time is up. And the reality is God warns us concerning judgment, and it appears as though he's not acting on it, but there is judgment. It's appointed once to die, and then the judgment. He warns over and over again to repent and believe in his son Jesus. So what should be our response? I think, first of all, we should have a renewed urgency for our proclamation of the gospel around us and being ready to do so. I think we need to be ready, recognizing we get complacent. We don't think at all about the people around us who don't know the Lord. We need to be thinking more so about that, recognizing that for us, there is a day of judgment. Now, for those who are saved, we escape that wrath. But for those who don't believe, there's judgment coming. Okay, so back to our passage, verse 49. Notice, then I said, that's Ezekiel speaking, "Ah, Lord God, they are saying of me, is he not just speaking parables?" So the exiles have heard all that I've shared with you, and all back all the way there, all over and over again, that God is going to bring this judgment. And the exiles are saying, he's just telling stories. It's parables. It doesn't mean what it seems to mean. Ezekiel is a little upset here. He's upset that they're not listening. They're not listening. They think it's parables. So now in response to Ezekiel's cry here to the Lord specifies very clearly what he's going to do, which we're going to see now in chapter 21, beginning in verse 1 here. Notice verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards Jerusalem and speak against its the sanctuaries and prophesy against the land of Israel and say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you. And I shall draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Because I shall cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore my sword shall go forth from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. Thus all flesh will know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It will not return to its sheath again. As for you, son of man, groan with a breaking heart and bitter grief, groan in their sight. And it will come about when they say to you, why do you groan? That you will say, because of the news that is coming. And every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it comes and it will happen, declares the Lord God." So in answering Ezekiel saying, hey, they're just saying it's parables. They're not listening. They're not listening, Lord. Ah, Lord, they just say it's parables. So the Lord says, okay. And the word of the Lord came to him. It says, "Son of man, set your face," verse 2, "towards Jerusalem and speak against the sanctuaries," that's the sacred places, "and prophesy against the land of Israel and say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you." It's not just parables. The Lord is against them. The reality is, if you are still in your sins, the Lord is opposed to you. For if while we were enemies, Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, we were reconciled, before we came to faith, we were enemies of God. We were opposed. Isaiah 13:9, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. You see, God is against sin and sinners. He hates sin so much. But God is gracious. He poured out his wrath upon his son instead. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, we were his enemies, Christ died for us. You see, if you've not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God is against you, as he is with these Israelites. They thought they were God's people. So a lot of people come to church and say, hey, I'm the Lord's. And these people, as we've seen, they thought they were God's people, but they had not repented of their sins. Notice he's going to draw his sword. He says here, middle of verse 3, behold, I'm against you, and I shall draw my sword out of its sheath. We can understand what that is. Someone pulls a sword out. It's going to be used. It's coming out of the sheath. But he says here, because I shall cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore my sword shall go forth from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. He's talking about the judgment that would come through Babylon, as we'll see later on, and we saw earlier in the beginning of this book, the judgment that would come upon his people that he would allow because they would not repent. They would not repent of their idolatry. They would not repent of their abominations and their wickedness. So he's going to draw his sword out of his sheath. It's going to be out. Now, what's a sword for? It's for one thing, killing. And again, as I mentioned, God would use King Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king, who would come to faith later on. Praise the Lord. Look at Daniel chapter 5. King Nebuchadnezzar, in his wickedness, God would allow his wickedness to be brought about upon Israel to bring their judgment. Now, this is a terrifying terminology. He says it's going to draw it out of the sheath. He's going to cut off the righteous from the wicked. You say, wait a second. He's going to cut off the righteous from the wicked, and he's going to cut the righteous out too? Wait a second. Some interpreters would say he's judging everyone, even the ones that are the righteous ones. Well, I don't believe that's the case here. I have a hard time accepting that interpretation because, first of all, you might remember Abraham's intercession for Sodom and Lot, remember? Secondly, you might remember that God is patient in his judgment, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, 2 Peter chapter 3. And third, we see in Scripture that Christ delivers us from the wrath to come. We see that in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we see that God has not destined us for wrath, but salvation, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. So I believe it's what we saw earlier in the book of Ezekiel. Remember he was a watchman? Where there were those who were outwardly wicked in the land, and there were those who were righteous, but it was just external. They were those who were righteous in their actions, but they weren't righteous in heart. You might remember we saw that back in Ezekiel chapter 3. So then, the passage is clear. He says, all flesh, my sword shall go forth, end of verse 4, from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. His judgment's going to be comprehensive. Everyone's going to be judged. It's going to be by the sword of Babylon through the Lord. He's going to destroy the inhabitants. Now, you might remember also how gracious God is. Back in chapter 9, there was the man in linen with the writing case. It was an angel who was to mark out the heads of those who mourned over sin with the Hebrew letter tau, looks like a cross, by the way, to mark them out that they would not be judged. God does not judge those who are his. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. They're protected. But those who are not, there is a sweeping, all-encompassing judgment. And for them here, he says, all flesh. He says, thus, verse 5, all flesh will know that I am the Lord and have drawn my sword out of its sheath. It will not return to its sheath again. The reality is, as we've seen throughout Ezekiel, then you will know that I am the Lord. There are two ways in which we come to a true knowledge of the Lord. Some people say, hey, Lord, Lord, I know you, but they don't know him. There are two ways mankind comes to know the Lord. One is through faith in Jesus Christ. We come to know him as Lord. But there's also a way, as we've seen in Ezekiel, that when one rejects God's provision of salvation, you will know the Lord is the Lord when he judges you. You will know it. There will be no doubt. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. The reality is, if you haven't repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus, the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations will be blessed, if you haven't done so, if you die, it's too late. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth," and that talks about just not loving and being with the brethren. Hey, if I continue in sin willingly after coming to the knowledge of the truth, not being saved, he says, "There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment." The reality is, it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. Everyone who rejects Jesus will be judged. And God is gracious to warn us. "He made him who knew no sin," that's Jesus, "to be sin on our behalf. He took our sin on his body on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God." You might remember with Abraham, he was told to take his son to sacrifice him, and the Lord stopped him, and he provided a substitute. The Lord will provide. You see, God's judgment must come forth. A righteous judge must judge, a righteous God, a holy God. And so he sent his son Jesus, and he bore our punishment on the cross. He bore God's judgment and wrath for sin. He took the full cup of God's wrath. And if you reject that, then you are on your way to God's judgment, and rightfully so. But what should be our attitude towards that? I think we have the wrong attitudes at times towards judgment. We're going to see. Notice we have the proper response illustrated here. "As for you, son of man," verse 6, "groan with a breaking heart and bitter grief, groan in their sight." This is those people who say, it's just parables. You're not going to judge. It's just parables. It's stories. "And it will come about when they say to you, 'Why do you groan?'" This is the middle of 7. "That you will say, 'Because of the news that is coming, every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, all knees will be weak as with water. Behold, it comes, and it will happen,' declares the Lord God." Ezekiel's commanded to groan and to have a bitter grief and groan in their sight, a breaking heart. And folks, I believe that's the heart we should have towards coming judgment. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It should grieve our hearts that people reject Christ and will go to judgment. It should grieve our hearts. We should be broken over it. And again, he says, "And when they come about, say, 'Why do you groan?'" Ezekiel's to publicly tell them why. "Because of the news that's coming." This is the dreadful news of judgment that he's been telling them. "Every heart will melt, all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, all the knees will be weak." They were in their pride thinking nothing's going to happen, but God was going to bring a sweeping judgment upon them where everyone would know that it was happening. They're going to be shocked. And I believe people will be shocked when they open their eyes in Hades, like the rich man Elijah, will be shocked. The reality is, if you don't repent, you'll be judged. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He talks about hearts will melt, hands will be feeble. That means they're just going to have no strength. Every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Or literally, it says all in Hebrew, all knees will go wet. It's like they're going to urinate on themselves. What's it saying literally in the Hebrew? They're going to be so scared and fearful, they're going to just fall apart in the midst of God's judgment. Terrifying. And end of 7, "Behold, it comes and it will happen," declares the Lord. I want to share another passage. If you want to turn with me to Isaiah 13. I read part of it earlier, but I want to read part of it. This has to do with the day of the Lord. Very similar. First of all, we have Israel's judgment here in the land, which you see, but it foreshadows what's going to happen in the day of the Lord. And it also foreshadows the reality of what happens when people die and are judged before the Lord. Isaiah 13:6, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. "Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty." Now notice these things sound very similar. "Therefore all hands will fall limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their faces aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will put an end to the arrogance of the proud and the base, the haughtiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal man scarcer than pure gold, and mankind than the gold of Ophir. Therefore I shall make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fear of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. When that day comes, it's over. You don't want to get to that day. And for each and every one of us, that day could be today if you haven't come to faith in Jesus. God's word says it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's terrifying. And he's warning of the eternal judgment. But again, God poured out our sin upon his Son. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God bore our sins in his body on the cross. His full wrath for sin, the price was paid on the cross. If you're willing to humble yourself and realize, I'm a sinner, I deserve your judgment, and call upon the Lord Jesus, whoever will call upon him will be saved, and you'll be delivered from the wrath to come. Notice back in our passage, verse 8, the sword is made ready. And again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, say, a sword, a sharpened sword, and also polished. Sharpened to make a slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. Or shall we rejoice? The rod of my son despising every tree. And it is given to be polished that it may be handled. The sword is sharpened and polished to give it into the hand of the slayer. Now this has got a bunch of interpretive difficulties, but I think we can understand it. It is in its Hebrew in poetic form here. But here he's saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, a sword, say a sword, a sharpened sword, and also polished. He says, sharpened to make slaughter, polished to flash like lightning. The sword of God's judgment is ready to go. God's patience has run out. You don't know when that day is going to happen. Now notice he says here, and there's a difficult portion to interpret, the middle of verse 10, or shall we rejoice, the rod of my son despising every tree? You go, wait a second, I don't understand this. In the NASB, it doesn't capitalize the word son. In the New King James, it capitalizes the word son. We have the word rod here, which could speak of a shepherd's rod, or could also speak of a scepter from a king. So what's going on here? Well, I believe this term here goes with what we saw in some previous chapters. These exiles were believing that their king was going to save them, that their king was going to deliver them. And I praise the Lord for things happening in government and things changing and things, but don't put your hope in kings. Don't put your hope in presidents. Pray for them. It's the Lord that we put our hope in. We put our hope in the Lord.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who's struggling, what would you tell them?
Well, Dave, what I assume you mean is those struggling about what they heard in the message concerning God's judgment. Well, I would say if you're struggling right now, there's hope. You see, that means God is convicting you, maybe concerning your sin, maybe concerning your need of a Savior. And with that in mind, yes, God will judge. It's appointed man once to die and then the judgment. But yet he also sent his son Jesus, and he died on the cross and rose from the dead. He bore our sins in his body on the cross, and you can be delivered from the wrath to come by turning to Jesus. You see, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent and live. So would you turn today? Would you turn to Jesus? We pray that you will.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.